So welcome to the land of big trucks.
Yeah, in Texas, where we're still stuck. I bet a lot of people were listening to this, and then it ended without any, like, warning. And they were like, oh, maybe Mitch and or Kelly escaped from Texas.
There's no escaping this.
I mean, for a while, I thought I might be escaping Wichita Falls and maybe moving down to work in San Antonio, which could have put me close, but just things going on here wouldn't allow it to happen.
Were you trying to get stuck in Mexico?
No, I want to go to Austin. If I'm going to be stuck in Texas, because honestly, I don't think I would go back to Los Angeles anyway. New York is way too expensive, but Austin is really something right now for comedy.
For sure.
And so I was trying to do that, but I don't think I'm ever getting out of Wichita Falls. So for those of you who have been waiting for months to hear our beautiful voices again, we're back.
In Texas.
Where we'll be for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. So I guess we should address the elephant that sat on my chest. We went off for a while because I woke up one morning and I couldn't move. And it turns out I had some shit wrong with my neck. And then I needed to suffer with it for a couple of months while I tried to avoid surgery.
You had like a compressed disc or something, right?
I ruptured 3 discs and had a bone spur going into my spinal column.
So, I mean, like on a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a 3.
But maybe 2.5. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't move. You were basically paralyzed and you had to get surgery. So there was a lead up to the surgery. That was about a month.
It was closer to 2 months. I waited an entire month to see a pain specialist who could take care of my neck. And I walked in. He literally looked at my posture and he says, "There's nothing I can do to help you." I'm like, "Dude, I already paid my $57 copay."
You know, I went to the dermatologist today, and that was a $25 copay, and he cut off a mole.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get to keep it?
I didn't ask. That seems kind of weird, but maybe you should have gone to a dermatologist. They get things done quickly.
So the bone spur going into my spine, I named it Ouchie Bad Bad, and I did ask if I could keep it.
What'd they tell you?
They said, I said, "I know I signed paperwork that said that, you know, you guys get to keep everything that comes out of my body, but I'd really like Ouchie Bad Bad. He's been kind of a pain in my neck, and I'd like to wear him around my neck. Maybe get it, like, platinum-coated or something."
Okay. How big was Ouchie Bad Bad?
Big enough to affect me. They were going to just drill a hole through my vertebra.
Ugh.
And pull the little guy out and then put the little core back in, but they ended up having to take the whole vertebra. And in doing that, they kind of destroyed Ouchie Bad Bad.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I know you were in incredible pain, but when you were going through the consulting phase of this, what was the percentage that they told you by having this procedure done you could be paralyzed?
It wasn't much.
Like, what's not much?
I mean, they said there's a chance.
But they had to give you a number.
They didn't give me a number.
Oh, it was high then.
I don't think so. I mean, it was only like a 3-hour surgery.
What number would have made you not get the surgery done?
Honestly, with the amount of pain that I was in, I don't think there was a number that would keep me from going through surgery.
Like, being paralyzed would have been better than being in just constant pain.
I was on so many drugs and still in so much pain.
I bet you there's a lot of people listening to us that are like, "Hey, that first part sounded pretty good."
Right.
I'm listening to the podcast and I'm on a lot of drugs right now. Little opioids, little upper, little downer.
I was on all the opioids. And I don't know what the big deal is about them, because it's not like they fixed a damn thing.
And then you did get slightly addicted to it, right?
Like, I did. I had withdrawals.
Yeah. That's crazy. You had a doctor-prescribed medication that you were taking per the prescription, and even still, like, you weren't abusing it at all. Even still, you were just like, "Give me some fucking pain pills."
That was me. It was like every day. My best friend was my watch. I'm like, "Can I take another pill? Can I take another pill?"
Well, now everyone knows where we've been.
Yep.
And what we've been doing. We've been waiting for Kelly to quit complaining about her back.
I know.
And her little Ouchie Bad Bad.
Owie Bad Bad.
Owie Bad Bad.
Yeah, and now I got this pretty badass scar on my neck where it looks like somebody tried to slit my throat and bleed me out.
It's about an inch and a half, 2 inches long, and it runs right across your jugular.
Yep.
That's pretty tight.
I don't have any tattoos, but if I were going to get one, I think it would be something like blood dripping out of this bitch.
With stitches across it.
Of course.
Yes.
Yes.
That would be so cool.
Very,
that would be, you
very
should
nightmare.
At least do that for Halloween this year.
It would be very Nightmare Before Christmas, right?
Yeah. Oh, so I don't even remember what this podcast is about.
So this is about mentoring.
Okay.
Right? You're mentoring me from the start of trying comedy.
Excuse me, I yawned, which is a very good sign for the podcast.
And then I have no reason or ability to give advice to anybody about anything, but you love sharing stories of your daughter with me, and then you let me talk.
Yeah, I mean, you're a parent of two people. Nah, they're not children anymore. You have a 20-year-old because she shares the same birthday as I do.
Yes.
And then you have a 17-year-old, and he's getting ready to move out, and you're gonna cry a whole bunch.
He is a foot taller than me now.
I got a little brother that's 18, and he just went to Marine Corps boot camp.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
following in his big brother's bootsteps.
Well, I just told him for years how great it was. Then after he signed the paperwork, I was like, he fucked up so bad. He should have joined the Air Force. What were you thinking? And he's like, what? I was like, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Go have fun.
You're 18. They can't do anything to you.
So I guess let's get into it, right?
But what's Billy been up to? How old is she now?
She's over 30? She's over 2 years old. She's everything is like, I'm kind of wishing, like, let's just push her back a few months because everything was going so good. She had started talking. She had a great attitude. I was like, you know, people were talking about the terrible twos. I was thinking, oh, man, we have the best kid. There's nothing terrible about her now. And honestly, at this point, I can't think of anything that isn't terrible. She grunts instead of using words. She screams what she wants. We're very clear that if you just talk to us and say please, you will get what you want. But she insists on screaming it at us. And like, when we let her do screen time, I have seen Frozen and Frozen 2 multiple times a day at this point. It is multiple times a week. Let me say it like that. We're not watching two or three movies a day, but if anything is going to get turned on, it's got to be Elsa. And I got to know how we can change the channel.
Right?
It's the same thing over and over and over. We have a Alexa, and we have to play the Frozen songs.
Right.
And then we have to watch the Frozen shows. And at this point, I know the words to most of it, and it's driving me crazy. Also, guess what? Elsa is a bitch. I'll just put it out there. Anna is a spoiled brat. Elsa is a bitch. And I don't see anything, like, really great about these movies anyway.
This is where your daughter's learning how to grunt.
I'm not grunting. I'm just giving a critical assessment of the film.
I meant from your choice of Disney films.
Oh. What do you mean? Like, who's grunting in the Disney films?
You know who I like in Frozen?
Olaf?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the only character that's really entertaining and good. You know, he has a good heart, even though he doesn't even really have a heart. And he's funny. But, like, Elsa just pushes everybody away and then somehow in both movies does the same thing that ends up getting the town in peril. And Anna just is so, I don't know, she doesn't think anything through. And it's just, like, these two people are not good role models that children should want to have.
Having said that, I feel like I can relate to both of them. So when Titus was...
like I said, they're not good role models.
So when Titus was Billy's age, he had an obsession with the movie Cars. We didn't have streaming services back then because it was the dark ages. So we actually had multiple copies of the Cars DVD. Because God forbid you can't find the Cars DVD.
Oh, wow. And, even worse if it gets scratched and starts having problems playing, huh?
It's not Bobby Sox.
Well, Bobby Sox just disappeared. Well, so with streaming services, let the internet go out and see what happens. We're in a lot of trouble. So I can't imagine having to be so careful with the DVDs that if something got scratched, then it just starts skipping on certain scenes. Everything for this age has to be perfect for them. I gave her a cup of water, but it was yellow cup and not the blue cup. We come into the house. She wants a popsicle. That's great. But guess what? Mommy and Daddy have to have the same popsicle. So if there's only two popsicles in the freezer, we got a big problem on our hands.
Oh, wow. Wow. You guys have to have the exact same popsicle?
And we can't share.
You shouldn't share. Those are popsicles. That's gross.
But she's really having a hard time with sharing right now. It was something that we really worked hard on. She's really smart. So she knows how she wants things, whether it's having an apple peeled or an apple cut or eating an apple whole. She knows how she wants it. But you never know which way that's supposed to be. So when this little monster is like apple, you got a 33% chance that you're going to give it to her the way she wants it.
Can't you just ask her?
You would think that. But once you start asking her, she gets a little upset that you don't really know.
That you don't know.
Yeah, she's like, if you don't know me by now,
then you will never, ever, 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 ever know me, you Elsa bitch. Sorry, what?
So, yeah, it's really hard right now. And we put her in daycare. The first week was great. Then she got sick and got the flu, and now I feel like she's associating that week and a half with maybe school.
Right.
So now she doesn't want to go to school.
Well, there's an adjustment period.
Or daycare, I
guess. There's an adjustment period to everything, right? So, like, pretty soon she'll make friends, and she'll look forward to going there and seeing
her friends.
She
doesn't change her attitude, she won't. Don't nobody want to be friends with that.
There's going to be some Anna who wants to be friends with it.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just ready for the next few years to pass by so we can, like, get back. All I know is this. I want to be a better parent, because whatever I have to do to not let this stick, because I know it can get frustrating, and I think some parents just give up, and that's why you have kids that turn into assholes when they get older. I don't want her to be an asshole. I don't want a certain behavior to stick. I want her to say please. I want her to say thank you. I want her to share. But like right now, and I know that this is the age where all of these traits are learned, and it's hard. But it just doesn't seem like it's getting through. And I think it's her mom's fault.
It's always the mom's fault. Or the dogs.
The dogs are great. They put up with a lot. They're actually pretty good influences.
All right. Here's what I will give to you as a fellow parent who has survived the terrible twos.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Your kid is capable of doing some things your way and some things the way that she wants them to do.
Right. Okay.
And so possibly putting out when you go for an apple, all right, we're going to eat apples together. This time, Billy gets to pick how they're going to be. Are they going to be cut? Are they going to be peeled? Are they going to be whole?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time you can say something like, hey, last time Billy chose how the apples were. This time, who gets to choose, mommy or daddy? And then, you know, she'll point to one of you and you can say, I want them peeled and cut or whatever it is.
Okay.
And just put it out there so that you're reinforcing everybody being a person, everybody getting a turn.
It's so interesting that you have to submit to teach them fairness. It's like, I mean, I get it, and I understand why, but it's like as a parent, sometimes you want to just be like, hey, I'm telling you what's right and wrong.
For sure.
But that doesn't work. You have to, what is it called?
Leading?
You no, lead when them. You like meet in the middle.
Compromise?
You have to compromise a lot, I think, sometimes to kind of get them to go in the right direction.
So figure out how much do you think she's compromising to be with you? Because I would posture that a lot of what comes...
I think posture has been a big problem for you.
It has. I would posture that a lot of what the kids go through in their twos is they've more or less been taken where the parents want to go, given what the parents want to give them, you know, given the toys that the parents want them to have for a really long time. And now they're almost modeling that behavior in a way.
Right. But they're also very egocentric.
For sure.
Where they don't even understand that other people don't want what they want. That's why I think it's so hard. That is the hardest thing in training them. Training them like she's a dog. Sit, good girl. Who wants some Cheerios?
What's the difference between that and it? You want to go night-night? It's time for a night-night. Let's get our binky and go lay in the bed.
I don't talk to her like that. I go, hey, go get your ass in the bed, and I'll see you in the morning. I don't want to hear a peep.
Perfect.
Now, why is she acting so...
I don't know.
Why is she so demanding? Misbehaved? I hear what you're saying, and I'll do a better job.
You're doing great, and I think that's another thing for you, Mitch. You and Lee are going through this together, so at least you guys get to bitch and complain about it to each other and have each other...
There's a lot of great reels on Instagram that we share with each other where it's like they really hit the spot and we're like, look, we're not the only ones who are raising a demon. Boy, what a change in the podcast from the last episode to this one.
For sure.
The few months that we've been gone, people are going to come back and it's like a completely different father-daughter relationship. I'm just like, save me.
I mean, every relationship kind of has these highs and lows, but going from the sweet, cuddly toddler to a two-year-old is a pretty big...
Hey, man, let me tell you, when she had the flu, oh, man, she was the best.
All right, fingers crossed for another flu.
No, because I feel like this recovery, I feel like it burned her brain. I feel like her brain got burnt, and that's why she's acting like this now. This is not my daughter that came out of the flu.
All right, well, should we talk comedy?
Yes.
Let's catch up with you. What have you been doing in comedy over the last few months? You've been regularly performing at the Mothership.
Well, I guess when we left... I had just started, right? Had I done one set down there at that point?
Yes, you had. William Montgomery had put you on one of his.
No, it was David Lucas.
You're right. I'm going to rewind. David Lucas put you on.
Oh, don't edit this to make it like you didn't make a mistake. You said William Montgomery. So David Lucas put me on his show. And then, you know, the booker from the Comedy Store, who's now the booker for Joe's Club, just welcomed me back with open arms. So that was great. And so now about, once a month at least, I go down there. I'm actually going down there this Friday. And then I have shows up in Dallas. I've been able to move along pretty strongly. I get regularly booked at the Plano House of Comedy, which is outside of Dallas. I started a show in Wichita Falls, and I'm on day shift now at work, so I actually have more time to do all this stuff. But I think for me right now, like, going to Joe's Club, the Comedy Mothership in Austin, is kind of the best thing that's been happening for me lately.
I love that. But there's a lot of things happening, and you're able to really scratch your comedy itch while still maintaining a job with healthcare.
Yes. You know, it's funny because...
you have to go to the dermatologist and get moles cut off.
Yeah, I know. I'm covered in them. I have one. It is gone. It will never be enough the way it is. As long as I have to wake up and go into another job while I'm trying to figure out other ways to be creative and put out content and get places 2 and 5 hours away to do comedy.
Right.
It's not going to be as fulfilling. And I'm just like, I don't know.
Is it you feel like you're outside of the scene even though you're...
Oh, 100%. If I was in Austin, I'd be going up every single night. I went there a couple weeks ago. I did 12 spots over the course of 2 nights. I made about $600 in 2 days. Now, that's very irregular because I was hitting up everyone that I knew, just being like, hey, I'm in town this weekend. Give me a spot. And I actually overdid it because I didn't even have time to talk to anyone or anything.
Okay.
So that was a lot. But, I mean, everyone is putting me on their shows.
That's amazing. Because you're funny.
I am. I just didn't have confidence in myself when I needed it. So now I'm stuck in Texas. That's the name of the podcast, by the way.
Is it really? It's Mitch and who? Mitch and Kelly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I told you about this, but apparently pain, and I had never been in pain like this, but apparently pain affects your brain. And the only thing you can think about is pain, mm-hmm. and possibly drugs. Pain, how much pain you're in, how can you be in less pain, when do you get to take your drugs?
Are these, I know you were on opioids, but did you feel any creative spark while you were?
I felt nothing.
Oh, man, I would love that.
No, it was terrible. Like, I would watch TV, I'd have no idea what I watched. It's mind-numbing. Pain is ridiculous.
It reminds me of when I used to take Adderall. And I'd stay up past the time, and then you're just in this Adderall kind of zombie mode. I woke up one day, I had a new dog. I apparently thought that my one dog was lonely, and I went on Craigslist, and I got in my car, and I drove somewhere, and I got another dog.
And you woke up with a dog.
And I woke up, and I was like, where did you come from?
Checking your text messages.
It's wild. So, yeah, I know, like, there's certain drugs that definitely, like, take away any awareness of what is going on in your life.
I couldn't think about my kids.
Wow. Once again, wouldn't mind it.
It was when my husband was gone for a month, my son had to make sure that I ate. I lost like 15 pounds.
Oh, man, I bet your husband's like, finally, your neck isn't loose.
They did stretch my neck. I'm about an inch taller than I was. So.
Oh, what about... Did they do like a little neck? Did you ask them, you're like, hey, when you do the stitches, could you stitch them up a little tighter?
No, they just, on the skin, they just glued it together.
No way.
Yeah, they stitched the muscles underneath, but the top was just glue.
Wow, that seems
irresponsible.
That seems unprofessional for sure.
Yeah. They're like, we don't really want to take the time to stitch you up, but we have these office supplies.
Once I saw the glue come out, I would have been like, whoa, 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 whoa. We need to talk about everything else you did prior to this.
When you told me you were using screws in my neck, did you get them at Home Depot?
Hey, but they're the galvanized steel or whatever.
I mean, yeah, that way they're good for if it rains.
So you're part robot now, and you didn't write any material while you were sick or in pain and recovering.
It's really hard to keep my thoughts together, and it's coming about. It's getting a lot better. So since I was out, I went down to Austin to try to get on Kill Tony again.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen.
No.
That's okay.
I asked you to host one of the shows that I produce here in Wichita Falls, and you weren't able to do it, but you did show up with your dog collar on. I don't mean like one of the leather things you get at the S&M store, old Adam and Eve, that's kind of like, ooh, she's a bad girl. No, it's more like the collar that a dog wears when you don't want them chewing on their stitches.
Yeah, it's a lot like the cone of shame.
Yes.
I sported that cone of shame 24 hours a day for 6 weeks after surgery.
Wow.
Yes, including I would go swimming in it. It was hot. I would go in the pool wearing the cone of shame.
I can just imagine. It just starts getting rusted. Was it screwed into you anywhere, or was it just like mounted on and just holding you in place?
Yeah, it was mounted on, and I had two because I had to wear it in the shower because the risk of falling was too. I have a plate in the front of mm-hmm. my spine, but they're afraid of everything going out the back if I fell. So that's why I had to wear the cone, including in the shower. So I had two, and I'd lay down on the bed, and if I was fully supported, it could change out the cone.
Oh, man, you were just worthless.
I was dead sexy. Yeah.
So you came and saw my show, but you didn't perform.
Right.
And that was about 3 months ago. Because we just did our third show. So 2 months ago?
It was two months ago.
Okay.
It was the one before this.
Yeah, so it was a month ago.
A month, maybe 5 weeks. Yeah, I was still in the cone. I was 100% drug-free, but my mind still wasn't good. I couldn't drive yet. I had to have my kid drive me to your show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he insisted that I shotgun a beer on stage because he'd never seen it before.
Uh-huh.
And I'm, you know, being the responsible adult I am, right. I was like, yeah, man, I'll do it.
You have to educate the youth. So I did come to that. I did try to get on Kill Tony once, and I have done open mics here in town. The first open mic I did, I didn't want to go because I didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like myself. But I made myself go, and it was great to be around people who have a similar interest and that I have a vested interest in. And I just did what I'd planned to do at Kill Tony. And then the second one, I didn't know what I was going to do. I couldn't get my head straight to even come up with a premise of what to write, let alone write anything. And thank God my mom sent the most ridiculous text about an hour and a half before the open mic.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, I just talked about how my mom has dementia. My dad has hearing aids that he connects to watch YouTube while she talks. And then I read my mom's text. And then this last open mic that I did, I actually wrote material. It's not great, but I wrote it. And I performed it, so.
Let's just go through what you did, because I would like to address something.
Sure.
I feel bad for you. Because of how you are coming up in comedy. The rooms that you are trying to develop in, it's not fair. Because I really do think that you're good.
Thanks, man.
But it's like you told me in the text message, this room is divided in an area where there's a stage and tables and chairs, and then
right.
The other half of the room is arcade games. And you were like, no one was over.
There were zero people. It was literally an empty room.
What about the comedians?
So I actually addressed this a couple weeks ago, and I don't want to be a bitch and keep saying this, but I actually said to the person who was hosting, I'm like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if all the comedians kind of sat in the first one or two rows over, you know, where we're doing comedy so that we kind of model the behavior that we want the patrons to
right.
do? But if all the comedians are sitting at the bar and talking and not paying attention.
So they were over at the bar.
There was like a split second where the guy who was hosting was picking up his stuff and he was still in the room and gave a couple little chuckles.
Right.
And then he was at the bar.
And then you're just performing to an empty room.
I literally was performing to an empty room.
Now, look, I'm not going to talk about how amazing the show is that I've created because that's not what this is about. But I still stand by what I have been saying since maybe our second or third week. And I understand that you've had some really good excuses why you can't do this. But now I really think you need Kelly Quinn of 104.7 The Bear. You need to go out and find a venue and be like, hey, I'd like to run an open mic here that I will talk about on the radio. It'll give people. What is your slowest night? Tell me what your slowest night is. I'll start talking about it on the radio. And hopefully people will come. Get some of the college students that want to try this stuff out. You know, like, put the word out there that there's an open mic. But have it in a place that, you know, like, try and cultivate something that's worthwhile.
I also think, the Deep End does a great job. They have the longest running open mic in Wichita Falls.
I think they've been going for like 8 years, right?
And I think that's amazing. I just think that. It's hard if the room is empty, or it's hard if the room is turned on you, too. I mean, there's all kinds of times when it's hard to perform stand-up comedy. It was just one of those things I was like, damn it, I just want to know how this material is, and there's nobody even paying attention.
Right. You sent it to me to watch, and it's really hard to gauge, because here's the truth about me. I'll watch a Netflix special and not laugh once.
Uh-huh.
And it has an audience that's laughing, or right. at least it has a laugh track, depending on who it is.
Do they really do that?
I'm sure some of them do. I can't tell you who it would be, but they have to pump up laughs sometimes if they're spending tens of thousands of dollars, maybe hundreds of thousands, depending on who it is, on a special. They're not going to release it and it sounds like garbage.
That's true.
But so, like, watching this, it is just like, man, you just need a better...
I'm going to play it.
Okay, go ahead.
She's got something to say.
So that's all Hefe bringing you up to the stage.
Energy. Yeah.
She'd really be dropping some truth bombs sometimes. Like, I'd be reflecting after Kelly does a set. Anyways, Kelly Quinn.
Anyways, here we go. And that's it. But, I mean, listen, he's bringing you up on stage, and he's like, hey, if you could at least look in the general direction.
Well, and I think that's actually pretty fair because
I mean, you might have achieved more performing in front of your mirror at home.
People are always saying there's nothing to do in Wichita Falls. I think we're missing out on the major market of disaster tourism.
Anybody?
Anybody else just learn what a microburst is?
Which all right, so right there, I'm not a fan of asking the audience what they know. I say write it out so that you don't have to ask a question. You can just tell them, like, I found out about microbursts. Up until today, I would have thought it was similar to right. Sharding or whatever. Yeah, like, what did you say the other thing? Go ahead.
Oh, it's going.
Get into a shark, you know, like an air biscuit when you think you're gonna fart, but you end up blowing mud.
An air biscuit? An air biscuit? Okay. All right, yeah.
Turns out a microburst, more disastrous, less embarrassing. I also heard it called a downburst this week. Downburst. The first pee after a long car ride. When you start sitting down.
Downburst when your retarded friend starts crying. That's so bad. I'm sorry.
I mean, it got down to a chilly 90 degrees. Brr. Y'all, it is hot here. Last week was even hotter because there was a raging wildfire across the street from our house. Luckily, we're in drought conditions and it was a windy day, so I felt like the fire had a sporting chance.
That was literally when I came home from babysitting Billy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I came home.
You came home and there was a brush fire in your neighborhood.
It was huge, like 20-foot flames, multiple fire departments there.
Oh, I'd just be looking at that like, please hit my house. Please, come on. Just...
You're like, then I get to move
I'm
to Austin.
You, I would be like, Lee, what else do we have to be here for?
A shocking incident. Like so many ambitious youngsters, the fire got squashed by the man. The fireman. Leaving nothing but an ashy black outline where a ranger had been. Sad to see so much potential ended in its prime.
Okay, so pause it. Here we go.
So,
Kelly,
can I tell you what that was in my mind before you tell me it sounds like an essay?
First of all, I don't want to do a podcast with someone who's going to read my mind.
So in my mind, I had this idea that it was like a police shooting. I was just trying to make it be like a police shooting news story.
Right.
But it didn't turn out right, and I knew it didn't turn out right before I went, but nobody was fucking listening anyway, so...
Well, I mean, at least you can go back and listen to it and be like, okay, I wish I would have said it like this instead of this. But yes, my comment was going to be, it sounds like you're reading pages from a book, not having a conversation or whatever.
So that's only slightly wrong from what I was trying to do. I was trying to make it sound like a newspaper article... In a funny way, but it didn't. It was a complete failure. But but that was my intention behind it.
Okay.
Honestly,
you know what you should have done? Brisket. You should have made the ticker tape sound.
That would be
extra,
great.
Extra. That would be breaking great. News. Breaking news.
Honestly, I've never jonesed for brisket so bad in my life. For 2 days after the fire went out, my whole house smelled like Dickie's barbecue. It still smells like leftovers. By the way, my house is just fine. I know you all were sweating it. Personally, I'm sweating everything in this heat. We would hibernate through the cold winters. Here is the summers that kill me.
That's just a very factual statement. When I lived in Seattle, Washington, the constant cloud coverage and everything gave me seasonal depression. And now here, summer just makes me want to give up. My yard dies. My plants die. I got trees that I'm going to have, like beautiful oak trees that have to get cut down now because they died. And I bought this house. The guy who had it before just spent so much time on the yard. Like, it was beautiful. And then we bought it in the fall, so it was still like it. I don't know. I just feel like I've let this property down, and I get depressed. And so, yeah, you know, like some people wouldn't realize it, but 100 plus degree heat for a month straight just makes you go. It messes with your mental health.
It also messes with the soles of your sneakers. I swear, like walking into Target, I got in and my soles were soft. I was like leaving little imprints of Vans all over.
I mean, there's videos of people like cooking eggs on their thing, and this isn't a joke anymore.
No,
it's so hot here.
I don't feel like I'm cooking eggs. I feel like I'm cooking brains.
I left some club soda in the vehicle after the shows that we were doing, and it exploded in the back of my car.
Oh, that's...
Luckily, it was club soda, so it was just like water got in the car, and it wasn't anything to clean up. It all dried before I even saw it. But I just noticed there was like some like wet spots that left a mark on the siding of the vehicle. But it's so hot that a can of club soda or sparkling water will explode in your car. That's too hot.
It's so hot. It's so hot. So back to it being hot.
There's lava, but instead of from jumping from the couch to the love seat, I'm jumping from one source of AC to the next. It's like house, car, work, car, store, home. And then it's like, na 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 boo boo, I'm on base. You can't test me, you stinky hot mess. And then I watch cartoons and suck my thumb because I'm clearly a child.
I feel like there at the end, you were just like, I hate this place. And then I do this and I suckle my thumb because I'm a stupid child.
I am not a child. I know that because today my last kiddo had their last first day of school. I was so excited, I almost had a downburst.
Like I said, when your retarded friend cries.
Perfect. I know that set sucked, and I also know I am so proud of myself for writing something new, even if it was horrible.
I think that's great. Yeah. Well, here's what I would say. You're taking the time every now and then to drive down to Austin. You know, you met a couple people in Dallas when we've gone down there. Just, you know, find out about... So, are you part of the Dallas Comedians Facebook page?
I am. The only person who's offered me spots down there has now been banned from...
Is that Noah?
No, from Hyenas. Noah didn't offer me spots.
Who offered you spots?
Rudy.
Oh, I don't know who that is off the top of my head. But here's what I'll say. I'm not even talking about getting booked on shows. Like, find out the open mics. If you're willing to drive all the way down to do Kill Tony and or to try and do Kill Tony when there's hundreds of people out there and they pull, like, six names, go to it's 2 hours. Go down there. Find an open mic that has people there and then come back home that night. You know, I mean, I know it sucks, but I feel like if you do that twice a week, it could be really beneficial to what you're trying to do because you can actually see how, even if it's the comics, there'll still be like 20 or more there, I think.
I've been going down
Hey, congratulations, Richard.
I've been going to Dallas like once a month, or at least I had been up until I couldn't ride in a car anymore, and hit a couple of open mics and come back.
I think that's where the play is at.
It's just a lot more fun if you have a friend who wants to go and do that and hang out in the same way. Someone with the same goals. When we were in Austin, I took Richard to an open mic that I wanted to do after Kill Tony, and he literally went, "This is fucking awful. Please, can we leave?"
I'm honestly surprised it took him this long. I really thought that after the first show that he came to watch you do at O'Brien's, I really thought after that he would have been like, "Okay, look, I can't support this." You can do it. More power to you. What? But don't ask me to ever come to one of these again.
So the whole thing I was trying to explain to him is, I'm like, yeah, you got to suffer through these really bad ones.
You have to suffer through them. He does not.
If you want to come up in the comedy scene, because it's about making those connections, mm-hmm. about hearing what other people are doing. And that night in Austin, I saw one comedian. I saw her at two different
open. Do you remember her name?
Mm-hmm. It was... maybe Cecilia, something with a C. I think it's Cecilia.
Christina?
Nope.
Mariani?
Nope. I think it's
Cecilia. Leonardo Joni?
No, I know who both of those are. I saw them both on your show, and I saw both of them on Kill Tony before your show.
Those are the only two.
I think it's Cecilia, and she actually got pulled up on Kill Tony, and I had seen her do an open mic right before that, and I was like, okay. She got on Kill Tony. She did a completely different set. Then I saw her at Sunset, and she did a third set. Everything she did was different and mm-hmm. tight.
I mean, it sounds like she's you know, taking it very seriously, which, and again, Austin provides a very unique opportunity for comics who are really serious about it and showing promise and talent, because there's so many shows that when you're good, people are going to, like, ask you to do it. And I think that while we don't have that here, we do have opportunity. You got to go to Dallas. You're going to have to go down and do open mics. You don't have to go with Richard, you know. I'm working day shift now, so I can go down with you. We can do that every now and then. I'm not going to go with you every time, but I'll go down every now and then.
I like it.
Yeah, you know, like I'm more than willing to do that. I just got to make sure that it's scheduled with my family, so that I'm not like I catch her off guard sometimes with things, because I'm not very organized. So yeah, you got it. You should tell her, hey, Mitch and I are going to an open mic in Dallas on this date.
Make
sure he knows.
Maybe everything I plan should go through Lee.
It absolutely should, because she's the responsible one.
Literally today we were supposed to record about 5 hours earlier, and you're like, oh, I forgot I have a doctor's appointment.
had to get this mole cut off.
Where was it?
It's on my back, but it's a red one. So I got it looked at like 12 years ago when I lived in Seattle, and they were like, you ain't got to worry about that. They were like, just watch it. If it starts getting like bigger or changes color or whatever. So I never really noticed it like it do any of that. But recently it was like just my shirt was irritating it and stuff. So I was like, let me go ask him. And he was like, yeah, it's just kind of in the way. Let's just cut it off. So they gave me a little cortisone shot, and then like buzzed it off and then cauterized it or something. I just remember being like, that smells good, huh? And the lady was like, hey, that's you, not me. Like, I wasn't saying you farted. Come on, relax.
Do you need to borrow my cone of shame?
No, I'm good. I can't reach it. I mean, just getting back to what we're talking about, though, like, you know, part of this was me mentoring you. So as long as you drive.
Yep.
I'm more than happy to ride down there with you.
I'm into it.
I've never ridden in a car like yours anyway, so, you know, it'll be exciting in the first few times.
So, did I tell you that part of getting that car was that we had to pick it up in Austin? And I said, on a Monday?
And that's when you made him watch that open mic, too.
Yeah.
But he left, right?
We both left.
Oh, you didn't stick around?
I wasn't going to leave him. I don't like walking around Austin at night by myself. Especially, like, we didn't get a hotel right on 6th Street, so you had to walk through some stuff.
I get it. I mean, you know, that makes sense. And once you, I guess you meet a few people, then you can travel in a pack.
Right. Right. But I didn't, I did run into two comics from Wichita Falls that were down there trying to get on Kill Tony as well.
Yeah.
So it's great. We all kind of have the same ideas. I just need to get to a place where I get invited to go.
I mean, you know, you can invite yourself sometimes. Hey, y'all plan on going down to Kill Tony this week? Let me know.
Do it. And a homeless person did call me an uppity bitch.
I never met a clairvoyant.
I know, she wasn't wrong. She wasn't wrong. I'm like, stop being mean to me. I need to go get my Tesla and ride home.
That's an uppity brat.
Okay, I'm an Anna.
Oh, okay, there you go. Well, I mean, I feel like she's still... Yeah, that's right. You're right. I was about to correct you on a movie that I've seen 12 times this week, and I was wrong.
I saw it once when it came out.
Oh, my gosh. It was really good the first time.
And I gotta say, it's got to just be hell for it to be 105 degrees outside, and they're, like, all in ice and snow and...
Not to mention, like, prior to this, we would have to listen to Jingle Bells by Minnie Mouse on repeat. And on an 8-hour car trip from Jackson, Mississippi, back to Wichita Falls.
I'm going to Jackson.
I would have loved to have listened to that song. That would have been amazing. But instead... Nope.
We got married.
She made us keep
in a fever.
She made us keep the windows rolled down.
Hotter than a pepper patch.
And it was never loud enough. Loud. I want loud. Jingle bells loud.
That girl needs headphones.
They wouldn't be loud enough. It was just like 5 hours of this 8-hour trip was just the 70-mile-an-hour wind roaring in our ears with Minnie Mouse singing Jingle Bells at the loudest possible volume.
You need noise-canceling headphones.
I just need a break. Speaking of which, I'm going to Austin Friday and then Dallas Saturday, so I'll be gone for a few days. I'll come back rejuvenated, missing my family, and I'll forget all these things that I'm complaining about.
So my counter to that is you'll come back exhausted because you're going to leave after work Friday and drive to Austin.
No, I'm taking Friday off, so I'm just going to head down there, you know, probably around 8 or 9 o'clock.
Hell yeah, that's
great. My wife has a friend staying.
So your wife has a friend staying, and
I'm
you're
just
going
like,
to Austin.
You know what? You guys have fun because they got activities that they want to do.
Yeah, you're letting them have some girl time.
So I'll wake up, head out. It's a friend that she's had for years in
that's
L.A.
Really a good thing that you're doing.
You're
as
right.
a husband. You're getting out of the way so that they can have girl time.
I'm a good person.
Yeah, 100%.
I wish I had a babysitter in Austin because I'd take Billy with me, too. I love having Billy down there because it gives me a reason. I don't get, like, real drunk because I got to wake up and take care of my kid.
Okay.
So.
You know that you have that choice regardless, right?
It just helps to have a motivating factor. Can we just talk about my alcoholism for a second?
Sure.
I can sit at home. I can drink one beer and just be done.
Right.
I don't sit at home by myself and drink. You know, I've never been a drinking alone.
You're a social boozer.
I am a social binger. I cannot be in an environment where I'm around people and there's drinks and I'm just like having one and being done. From the moment that I start, I will have a cup or a glass with a beverage in it and I will drink the. I don't care if it's 1 hour that I'm there or 5 hours. I will be drinking the entire time. I can't turn it off.
Do you think you have FOMO?
No, I think I have more of a social anxiety or something. Like if I'm in
seriously.
Groups of, I think if I'm in groups with people, like I have a, I think like the alcohol just, you know, like obviously like loosens me up or like removes any inhibitions. And but if I'm hanging out in large groups, I just feel like I don't want to be here. So when I start drinking, I do want to be there. I love it.
Do you drink before you do comedy?
Not really.
Okay.
So sometimes, but like when I'm in Austin and I'm doing things like this, I will start, like I'll have a beer, and then if I'm doing like four shows or whatever, by the fourth show, you can kind of tell I've had a few. But that's just, honestly, in Austin, you know, I'm hanging out with all my friends kind of thing. If I'm on the road, I generally won't drink until after the second show. If I'm at a place where you do two shows Friday and Saturday or whatever.
For sure.
Because I don't really like performing after I've been drinking. You tend to kind of forget new stuff that you're wanting to work on, or you kind of lose your place in your set. So I really prefer, and I tell people, I'm like, hey, perform sober. You know, I think it'll make your performance better, and it'll make it easier for you to get better because you're more aware of what's going on.
I think if I have a whiskey, I'm less stiff.
And that's fine. Like one's not a problem. But like I'm saying, if I'm doing four shows in a night, so that's going to be going from like 8 p.m. to midnight over the course of those 4 hours. Like I'm going to be kind of boozed up. But, you know, not even talking about being on the stage, just hanging out at the bar after the shows or whatever. I get like blackout drunk.
So I got to ask you, is it that you don't feel comfortable without a drink in your hand, or you don't feel comfortable without the alcohol going in your body? Because if it's just the drink in your hand, you can always have.
Nah, it's the alcohol.
You like that?
Like, I mean, even when I was in L.A. at the Comedy Store, I was sober for like 2 months one time just because. I just didn't hang out.
Fair.
I just didn't enjoy
that. It's your social lubricant.
I guess so. When I'm sober, I don't have any desire to just sit around and talk to people.
You're fun as hell when you're wasted. I'll let you know.
I know. I'm so fun. I'm having a great time. People love being around me. That's the problem. It's not a problem. But I wake up in the morning and I don't remember half of the night, and then
you're losing memory?
Oh, it's been like this since my early 20s.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't drink to black out, but I drink to the point of blacking out.
That is fascinating. I had this girlfriend when I was in my early 20s to late 20s, and we would go out and we would party like fucking rock stars. We would have these heart to hearts. We would have these moments, and the next morning I would call back something, and she would act like I was from fucking outer space. And
no idea that y'all had talked about this, huh?
Right. It's like it never happened.
I mean,
and one time she just showed me her pussy for no reason.
Okay. Well, hey, y'all. We're so happy to be back doing this podcast. I hope you enjoy this episode. Just stay tuned for next week. We'll be doing this every week again.
Because we're Mitch and Kelly.
And we are stuck in Texas.
We back, baby. So, Mitch, you talked about doing shows in Wichita Falls. You got anything coming up?
Yeah, actually, September 30th, we're going to be doing our fourth Liquid Laughs here in Wichita Falls. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're a local Wichita Fallian,
Wichitan,
you can go to wichitafalls.ticketleap.com, and there'll be a link on there for the comedy show.
I didn't understand the word you said. Wichita Falls dot
ticket leap, like you're taking a jump.
Ticketleap.com.
That's okay. Right.
Awesome. And we'll see you, and do you have a headliner?
Yeah, his name's Dave Waite. He'll be coming out from Los Angeles. He's been on the Jimmy Fallon Show. He's been on Jimmy Kimmel. He's been on Comedy Central. He has a special on Epics. So he's probably the most successful comedian we've had come up. We've had comedians from Comedy Central and Netflix here, but Dave's one of my favorites, so I'm really excited to bring him to Wichita Falls.
Yeah, you got him stuck in Texas.
Yeah, that would be great. I wouldn't be by myself. Not that I am. You're here.
Wow.
And my wife is here.
Wow.
And my daughter's here.
Uh-huh.
But other than that,